Logan Lee on the show today. Did not expect to nerd out on this one, but turns out Logan had the same major as Kevin and I, the same sort of nerdy interest and obsession in athletic performance, human optimization, exercise science, all the stuff. So we had a blast on this episode. As it continued to roll, we realized we could have kept talking and talking. We barely talked about football here, so we're going to bring Logan back on eventually. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go. Alrighty, welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. Another episode tonight. No producer Grant on the show. The kid's on vacation. It's his last senior spring break of the young career that he's already started. Kevin is quieting his dog, so it's just me and our guest for the intro here. Logan Lee joins the show. Logan, how are we doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
We're pumped to have you on. This is So I've met you once in person. I don't know if you remember. Yeah, we were at the summer event a couple of years ago. You and Joe came up to me as we were about to head out after dinner, and you shook my hand. And dude, your hands are like bear paws.
Yeah.
Like, do you get that a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all palm, which is weird. It's like my fingers are really short, actually. So it's like, it's just a palm grabbing you. It's weird.
What was the measurement? You've got pro day coming up, right?
Yeah, at combine. I think it was 10 and a quarter, maybe 10 1/8. So
sounds right around decent. There.
Yeah. So, but
is that big, Kev?
Yeah, that's pretty big. I'd be curious what they weigh. Do they start doing like a hand weight?
They should. I wish they could do that. That would
be like 98th percentile for you.
You got to be.
Right.
Because looking at like the hand looks like it's going to like, it's like the size of your face.
Dude, that's got to be a bit of an advantage when with the job that you've got, right?
Of course. Absolutely. I got some thick paws, so it helps jamming fingers and whatnot, holding on to folks. Everybody thinks the old lines are the only ones that hold on to people. That is not the case.
You're in there holding. You're in there getting the work done, huh?
Yeah, I'm doing my job. Yep.
They just recently started calling defensive holding a lot more often in the last couple seasons, it feels like.
Yeah, I think I only got called with it twice. One was in Big Ten Championship in 21. And then there's one other one slipping me, but – yeah, it's
not bad.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah, it's a technique, and refs don't call it very often, but it can be. You got to be really good at being subtle with it, right?
Absolutely. Wearing the same color gloves as what jersey they're wearing, kind of stuff. I never really got into that until this season, changing glove color. But
is that right? Greg is handing out different gloves every week now.
Yeah, Greg's actually done.
Yeah, we knew that.
I had two or three. I had three pairs. I cycled through two of them most of the time. But
did Greg get a little more favorable with handing stuff out in his final year on the job?
Of course.
Oh, well, we'd love to hear that.
Especially if you treat Greg right,
yeah.
he'll treat you right. It's really that simple.
Greg,
there's some guys that just like you see it where he's like, I would not want to give you anything either. but yeah, I've always thought that's funny.
Isn't it funny how there's like little mini side quest games up as a part of the the journey of like a Division I football player? You're just like playing this game of like, how much equity can I build up with the equipment guy to, you know, maybe get another pair of cleats or snag another pair of socks, you know?
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah. That, and then also it's always beneficial just getting to know somebody in general and trying to establish relationships just for the respect aspect, not necessarily just for returns, but it certainly helps.
It's sort of a forward thinking idea there. When did you realize that? Like not just you know, making friends with the equipment manager, but like, when did it hit you that like relationships, you always get told, right?
Right.
It's like, yeah, you know, it's all about who you know, get to know people on, you know, but like when, you know, like when I was 18 and I walked into Iowa City and I was in camp, like I wasn't worried about like, I need to build relationships. I was just trying to keep my head above water. Right. Like, when did you start to think about stuff on a higher level like that?
It's weird. That is something that I've always been like, been ingrained to me from my parents. It's like, always treat everybody with respect. Always try to remember people's names. And it's like, whether or not they can offer something, it's always worth trying to keep in touch with people. And it's been incredible just being able to see some of the relationships that have, like, I haven't spoken to people in 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, and I'm still able to have a running conversation with them. I would say I've always been pretty good at it. I've always been mature in that area of my life.
Okay. Good for you.
That was like late middle school through high school.
Jesus.
And then, yeah, that's
ahead of the game.
That's something I've always kind of valued is building relationships. So,
Kevin, that's something that you probably is probably.
Yeah, man. If the whole NFL thing doesn't work out, give me a call. I got a spot for you.
I was just gonna say, Kevin's in sales, and and I would imagine, Kev, that in your industry, you remember a person's name after one time meeting them. You introduce yourself the next time. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing? That makes a little bit of an impression.
It's important. People like when you remember their name.
I heard a quote sometime somewhere. It was like the most important word that someone can remember, or the most important thing that someone can say to you is your name the second time you meet them.
Yeah.
It's like, or the second time that you see them.
Right. There's a book. It's an old book. Have you ever read How to Win Friends and Influence People?
I did read that. And I think Kevin's got it on his shelf as well. There we go. Yeah,
I got my
right there.
Right there. It's one of my. That's other than Bible, of course. That's my favorite book. But
it was written back in like the 30s or something like
1937 was the original copy. They made they've updated it and stuff, obviously, but it's batting almost 100%. I'm telling you,
Kev. This guy's intellectual now. He's pulling out.
How about it, man? Apparently the D-line, they need to know a little bit more than just which gap to go in.
Not just big dumb guys, huh?
Right.
Do you feel like you guys got that stereotype?
I'm actually curious, what made you want to pick up that book? Or is that
I just love learning. It's weird. So I probably listen to that book 3 times a year, and then I've read it. I've only read it through and did my highlights once. But I probably listen to that 3 times a year. And it's just one of the, of course, like I said, other than the Bible, it's like the most applicable stuff you can ever have in just like interacting with people. Like I said, whether that be for, in order to like gain something, like that's never my approach when I try to meet somebody. It's just like trying to just treat
people
them with respect.
When you have an agenda, people smell that out real quick.
Exactly. Like being genuine and remembering people's names and remembering people's birthdays and trying to like make other people feel important. It's like, it's the little things that it's not that hard. Once you start applying it, you realize how easy it was this whole time. And names, I'm not as good as I wish I was, but I know the importance of that.
Names are tough. Gosh, I feel like I'm going to learn a lot here tonight, Kev. This guy, Logan, is so much.
I mean, we're going to have to go into his book list here in the back half of the podcast.
Oh, 100%. Because it sounds,
I go into that. I will.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a reader. And so I want to get into that.
I feel like if you're a person who rereads books multiple times, especially multiple times a year.
Yeah.
That's you're.
I'm listening to it multiple times. I'll read it once.
It counts. Okay. It counts.
Yeah,
okay.
That counts. Yeah.
I imagine this was helpful at the combine.
Yeah.
Talk about that. How was your experience there?
Oh, it was great.
Was it really?
I wasn't, though.
Things about it.
No. I really enjoyed the, like, I've been dreaming about this since I was a kid, right?
Okay.
It is way different than you'd ever expect. You're in a, I was in a 3,000 calorie caloric deficit the entire week. I lost 6 or 7 pounds. You're sleeping 5 hours a night when you're training and getting 9. It's like they are not at all trying to optimize your performance when they're asking you to compete at the highest level there is in a pre-NFL setting. It's like nothing about this is trying to help us. So
I'm honestly surprised more guys like don't get hurt or pull hamstrings or something during it. Like,
just it's wild to me.
Everyone says like they treat you like absolute shit the entire time you're there.
Yeah, it's there is food available. It's just like the abundance in which I need to maintain weight is
right. They're like, oh, we got these 102 guys that are going to show up. You know, yeah. What's an average person eat? That 2,500 calories. You know,
it seems like how they go about it. But
tell me what the diet was like. What? How long were you there? Give me the whole thing. When did you fly out? What was the daily schedule look like? What was it like?
Yeah, got in on Monday the 26th, I believe, and we. So we got there and we ended up, first day we were just getting settled. We got gear, we got our, random stuff. And then we had meetings that night and they were, man, that was a 4-hour block. There was formals and informals. You were scheduled for some. I only had informal meetings. I had 9 meetings in that 4 hours. And then, we ended up getting done at 11 o'clock. And then I ended up, we still are training so we can prime ourselves for the test day. So after that, we end up, so we probably got out about 11:15, had to walk back to the hotel, get our stuff, change and everything. And then we worked out starting at midnight. And then
you started a workout at midnight?
Yeah. And it's not like a whole intense workout. Like it's a primer. You're just trying to get your CNS firing a little bit and stuff like that. So,
and what time was wake up?
Oh man, I'm thinking I set my alarm for 5:45, 6.
Sounds like my
5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, man, it really feels like the dorm life, but
yes.
it was pretty much repeat. For the most part, we had some NFLPA meetings, former NFL players talk to us. We had a lot of like random meetings throughout the week that some were beneficial, some were less beneficial.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. You got something out of everyone, but
okay.
Some you got a lot more than others. And then
it's like your freshman orientation meeting.
Right. Exactly. It's like, okay, now I know where the cafeteria is. Nice. But, yeah, it's just the whole week is such a weird schedule. There was a little bit of downtime here and there. But, man, the worst part still is the medical. Like, doesn't matter if you've had actual issues. Like, they are making everybody go to the hospital. They're making everybody get images on something that, like, I tore my pinky in 7th grade wrestling. And they're making me get images on it. It's like, come on. But
wow.
Yeah,
expensive so like, cattle, man. That's what you are.
Exactly. I'm like, my pinky's not going to restrict my play. Like, what are we doing?
Tear it off if it breaks.
Exactly. Cut it off. but yeah, it's like the medical, you had 9-hour days. You had 8 9 hours
worth
days.
Of medical?
Yeah, you got in, you started medical at 7, I believe, and you didn't get done until 5. And there was another one of my guys that I trained with down in Florida. He ended up having to redo his, like, some of his medical, but they, like, nothing was working, I guess. So he had another 7-hour medical day after that. So that was the day leading up to training. And it was like, and he still he still did all his testing, I think. And I'm like, man, you're a tough mug because that's an uphill battle there.
That sounds brutal, man. Ugh.
Do you feel like some of that process is almost a way it's built in, it's structured that way on purpose to to put guys through the ringer a little bit schedule wise? Hey, can you be here on time? Hey, can you mentally focus, lock in for long days? Like, cause that is sort of what you're signing up for at the next level. It becomes a job. Obviously you can't be late in college, or maybe at least not in Iowa. You can't be late. No. Maybe other places you can be, but, it kind of just seems like the personnel that are running you through that and the people who structure that week would understand that, hey, we're trying to make these guys – I mean, maybe they don't think of it that way. But realistically, you guys are trying to literally look your best, perform your best on a national televised setting that everybody loves to watch, and then they put you through boot camp essentially the week of. Like, what day did you finally do on-field stuff? Was it after all of those days?
It was Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Wow. So got there Monday, didn't do on-field, like, televised stuff until Thursday.
Right.
Jesus.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's wild. And then, like, they did have a great training facility. Like, Noble set up their own weight room, and they had some turf in there, too. So it was like we had the stuff to train. We had back at one of the hotels, my training facility from Fort Myers, X3 is where I trained, but they had like a hyperbaric chamber, so I was hitting that. We had some recovery options and stuff, so yeah.
That's elite. Tell me about Florida. What drew you down there for training, and how did that happen?
It was funny. So Jordan asked me to go down on a college day. Would have been May of last year, so May of 23, and I just love the training they're doing, and I'm like, I think it's always very helpful to be able to go and reset your routine and be able to experience different settings, because I've been at Iowa. I love Iowa. I'm training there now, but it's like, it's still good and still healthy to be able to experience different spots and allow yourself to kind of get a restart. It's like, no matter how much I hate to say it, it's like sometimes it gets mundane going in the same place each and every day.
Sure.
Even if it's a state-of-the-art facility like we got, it's like,
even if it's just for the mental reset, like just a fresh look, even if you're doing the same stuff. Yeah.
It's like getting to know new people and, being able to like go down and get different types of stimulus in your training. It's like, there's just so much stuff that goes into it. And I get into the details about the training stuff.
Are you nerdy about it?
Very.
Dude, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about it. Like, what
was your major? Are you an exercise science guy or what?
Yeah, so I am an interdepartmental studies major, and I have a dual emphasis in exercise science and entrepreneurship. So I'd like to open up a gym like that at some point.
Oh, dude, you're talking to it, huh? Let's go. Well, you're currently on the screen. You're in between two exercise science majors.
Love it.
So, I don't know. Kevin wasn't so much on the like the entrepreneurial side. I guess I wasn't really either. I did at one point want to own my own gym, and then realized that I didn't want to do that for other reasons, personal reasons. But yeah, we're pretty nerdy about it too. We love that stuff, man.
Oh man, I've got it.
I did not know you were
here for hours.
Know you were into like the. Tell me about it. Where did this start? How did this love, this sort of obsession or passion start?
Dude, it was. I would say my three or four biggest passions have always been my faith, my relationships, like I mentioned, and then outside of that, it's pretty much what I call performance optimization.
Dude, talk to me, bro. We're going to go for 3 hours.
Words. Yeah,
I got a whole Google Doc with all my notes on everything, whether that be light therapy, the hyperbaric, the compression boots, the
stretching techniques.
Yeah, it's like whether that be nutrition, the actual training aspect, the recovery aspect, I'm just a nut about all that stuff.
Dude.
So this is going to tell me about a lot about who you are as a person. When football ends, what type of training are you going to do? Are you going to be a power lifter, a CrossFitter? Are you going to go to endurance training? What does Logan Lee do for training when football is no longer?
Which hopefully isn't for another 15 years, by the way.
Right. Good save. So I want to, I'm a hobbyist too. So like, I'll just pick up something and do it for 3 months and then be like, all right, I got pretty good at that, and then just drop it. So, don't really know. Biggest thing is I want to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Always been.
I want too bad to, Drake isn't here.
Yeah, I want to get into like some sort of striking martial arts, whether it be kickboxing, Muay Thai, one of those things. I just love martial arts, that stuff. I wrestled in high school, so and then I love the concept of CrossFit.
Dude, the people are gonna hate this episode because you're just talking.
I don't care.
No. You're talking to, like, I'm so you're talking literally my life right now. So
you're a CrossFitter.
Yeah, I train.
Let's go.
I probably train like 15 hours a week of like mostly CrossFit, which on the deeper level, on the competitive, like further elite side, it's like mostly just strength progressions,
right.
Endurance progress. Like none of it's actually, I would say like 5 to 10% of it is actually putting like the movements together in the circuit workouts that you see. Right. Most of it is just like building your aerobic base, building your strength through each modality, and then working on your skills as well. But yeah, I would have never guessed that Logan Lee had any interest in CrossFit at all. So
I just love the competitive aspect. It's like,
it's sick.
You have times for everything. You have reps for everything. It's like, okay, I'm going to do a ladder. I'm going to do a Tabata and figure out what my new PR is. It's like, there's so many opportunities for you to PR and compete with people in your gym. As long as you get a good setting, I guess that'll
for sure.
That'll make a huge difference.
Yeah, 100%.
Kevin, you're quiet. You're not a CrossFitter?
I'm not a CrossFitter, but I don't judge those who are.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. There's a stereotype. I love it. I think it's hilarious. It's like, oh, you're going to CrossFit. I'm like,
yeah, Kluver is that stereotype.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, CrossFit Open's going on right now. So it's all good. We won't make this a CrossFit episode. I do want to stay in the, I want to stay in this lane though. Were you a guy coming out of high school? So backstory for me, just as an example, I found CrossFit and started to get, well, really I found, this is going to go way back to like some gym bro stuff. So Steve Cook actually played football. Yep. He was like, he worked for, or he was a brand ambassador for like Optimum Nutrition. And he was like one of the first like gym influencer people, but he was like a bodybuilder. Like, you know, this is like 2010, 2011. He played football at like Utah, something, maybe a D2 somewhere out there. Dude's jacked. He started putting out his workouts, like his, like, you know, like, you know, buys and back and buys, chest day, triceps, like that kind of thing on bodybuilding.com back in like 2011. I did his program, like saw great results. That's when I started to get into like, oh man, I kind of like programming my own workouts. And then I found CrossFit in 2012. So going into 2013 fall, which is when Kevin and I stepped on campus, I felt fortunate because I was one who I knew what I wanted to do with my education. I was like, I want to be in the exercise, like performance optimization, sort of, as you said, I want to be in that realm. I want to be in the human physiology stuff. I knew the direction I wanted to go. Is like a lot of people kind of step into college, and as much as I crap on the, what do you call them? The gen eds that they make you take. It is important for some people because some people don't know what they want to do for 2 years.
Absolutely.
I saw them as pointless because me and Kevin knew which way we were going with things.
Right.
But was that a high school thing for you? Did you figure it out in college? Was it influenced by sort of how geeky and nerdy the strength staff gets with stuff and Coach Ray and Coach Doyle? How is that birthed in your mind and in your passion?
Yeah. Like I alluded to earlier with the book stuff, I just love learning. I'm like, I know I've been given a set of gifts by God and I just want to optimize that to the best of my ability. And that is actually like a middle school thing. Like I started doing a bunch of like research, whether that be nutrition stuff. You can ask them my buddies in high school. They'd always make fun of me because if I can drink my calories, I'm all for it. I will throw anything in a blender and drink it. It's like right now my daily, Whether it's if I have an afternoon workout, I'll drink in the morning. If I have a morning workout, I'll drink in the afternoon. But it's half a pound of chicken, 9 eggs, it's a cup of egg whites, a cup of whole milk, honey, frozen berries, avocado.
No.
A big Stir bar.
No.
Nope. Creatine and collagen.
Okay, so
all right. 95% of that stuff is great. Did you say half a pound of chicken in the blender?
Half a pound of grilled unseasoned chicken. Yes.
Brother, why?
Well,
how does that taste? How does blended chicken taste?
That's got to be ass, dude.
It's really not that bad. I bet you could drink a little bit of it. I mean, this shake.
Okay, so how many calories is this thing? Because you listed it out, and Kevin and I were doing the quick mental math. It's got to be upwards of 2,000.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's between 2,200 and 2,500.
I drilled it. Yes.
Yeah, it's. Yeah,
okay.
It's
okay.
56 ounces.
How long does it take you to down that shake?
3 minutes, 5 minutes.
You pound that thing.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Otherwise, everything will settle. You don't want it to settle at the bottom, man.
Okay, hold on. Okay, this podcast has gone off the rails in the best way. Okay. Can you give me your – I have a feeling that I know why, because people at home are now asking themselves, well, why is he doing this, right?
Yeah.
So can you give me – and I, with how much you said you're into this stuff, I imagine you have a pretty close number. What's your caloric intake daily?
On a training day, I'm usually around 5,500. On a rest day, I'm usually around 45. Depends, but that's generally what I do.
And what? How much do you weigh?
I'm 287 pounds right now.
Just of meat. Just 287 pounds of lean meat.
That's right.
Wow. Okay, so you're averaging...
you're averaging a shit ton of calories a day. What's the weirdest thing you've put in a blender? I'm just still caught up in this putting chicken in a freaking smoothie.
Oh man. When I was in high school, I would do literally anything that was healthy. I would go online, go on YouTube, search for hours, and I'd send my mom with a list of ingredients, and she'd bring home 60% of what I asked her to bring home. And I would throw everything in a Ninja blender and just drink it. Like, doesn't matter. Eggs, avocado, sweet potato, doesn't matter. Like,
so you're
the chicken's probably, I would say the chicken's the weirdest. 9 eggs is an awful lot, too. But
it's a lot of eggs, brother.
Could you imagine how long it would take you to eat that meal every single day? I'm like, I'm hitting all the macros, all the micros I could possibly want, like, and for the first half of my day, I don't really need to eat again until dinner if I didn't want to.
And this is why I was on the path of trying to figure out the functionality of this, is because when you're up, I mean, I'm doing it right now. So training as much as I do, and Kevin, I think Kevin and I both are north of 4,000 calories a day, probably average.
Wow. Yeah.
Because he still is working out. He's training for a triathlon. I do tons of CrossFit.
Oh boy.
So we're still both like, you know, washed up walk-ons. We're washed athletes, but you know, we're still trying to stay pretty elite relative to like your normal human.
Right.
Man, even at 40, in between 4,200 and 4,500 calories, there's some days where I'm sitting there going, it's just not have. I don't have it today. My stomach is like, I'm forcing dinner down, or like some meal feels a little bit forced. So add another 1,000 on top of that. It starts to get really tough, especially if you're eating tons of protein. Obviously, there was half of that thing was protein sources that you put into that thing. Athletes need a ton of protein. It starts to get really hard to like physically find the time and the energy to consume that food. And so that's why you're putting 40% of your calories into a shake, I assume.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is like, I'm trying to hit all my macros, hit as many of my micros as I can without having to supplement them. And it's like, eggs are one of the best possible like multivitamins you can possibly have. So I'm like, it's just like all this stuff. I'm like, I will usually have that shake. I will have a couple high protein snacks throughout the day, and then I'll pretty much have a dinner. I don't really, I'll carb up with fruit and honey before a workout, but
I love it.
That's about all I got.
It's unbelievable.
All right, so quick question here. We won't get too far into it. Are you afraid of saturated fat? Is saturated fat bad for you? Or are you a big
absolutely athlete? Not.
Man, my man.
I absolutely understand the science and the research behind it, how it can affect your cholesterol levels. And I'm like, yeah, that there are things, but I'm like, I still think seed oils are significantly, whether it be any processed food whatsoever, that's what I'm more concerned about than I am saturated fat. I'm like, if I can get a natural source from a cow, I'm going to eat the darn thing. Like, yeah. It's that simple. It's like, I'm not going to cut my saturated fat because there's so many more micronutrients in all of the high saturated fat foods. I'm like, you're cutting out all of your micros or you're affecting some of your fats. I'm like, I'm taking the micros every day.
I'm going to, when you open up your gym, when you're done with the NFL, I'm going to send my kid to train with you.
Yeah,
I you better. So. That's I'm like, I want to like apply all this stuff. It's like,
yes.
I could go on for days about this stuff.
Dude, you're coming back on the podcast, brother, and we're turning this into a fitness and nutrition podcast. Holy smokes. You're like the best friend that I have been looking for forever to nerd out with me on this.
I'm right fucking here, man.
No, Kev, you don't like listening to me talk. You listen to me already too much. I need someone that hasn't been desensitized to my bullshit, you know?
Fair.
But I do like talking to you too, Kev. Kev, you've got important stuff going on too. You don't have time to talk to me.
I make time twice a week, man. What more do you want?
That's what I'm saying. And we can't flood the people with this all the time. So, you know, I'll bring Logan in. For those wondering, by the way, most of the cholesterol, if you're worried about consuming cholesterol and that affecting your levels, most of the cholesterol, if not all of it, consumed, it doesn't actually affect your biomarker cholesterol levels. Yeah. Just to let you know that. Just getting real nerdy down the rabbit hole here. Wow. Amazing. 5,500 calories a day.
Let's circle back. We got like 8 lanes off topic here. How did you feel about your combine performance?
I felt really good about it. I PR'd, and there's some crazy PRs I had. So I'm like, I broad jumped, and I never touched 9 foot in my life. And then like a week and a half before we got to Indy, I tested it, and I got 8.10. I'm like, all right, I just need to get 9 foot, 9'2".
Mm-hmm.
I got 9.6. I'm like, I had an 8-inch PR, and it was just
Jesus. Weird.
Yeah, it was so really happy about that. The vert, I tied my PR. Then the 40, I'm a little bummed about. I'm sure I can run under a 5-second 40, but I didn't, and that's we'll see where that takes us. But I know I'm faster than that.
So that's like the one thing you're looking to improve for pro day then is your 40.
I'm actually not going to retest anything. Talking to a lot of the scouts that were at the combine, along with my agent, they're like, there's no reason for you to retest. I'm like, if you were to digress, that'd be more of a concern than if you were to cut off a 5/100th of a second. It's like,
true.
Cool. So, and then
I'm curious, man, if you're talking with your agent and scouts, what for a D lineman such as yourself, what are some of the more important tests they're looking at these days, and what are like some of the important like kind of benchmarks you want to hit for those tests?
Yeah, so there's pretty much for most guys, obviously I'm an undersized guy right now, especially at the combine. Mm-hmm. I weighed 281. Like I said, I lost 7 pounds. But I'm getting back up to weight, so that's not a problem. But it's pretty much going to be under a 5-second 40. If you hit a 30-inch vertical, that's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. If you are broad jumping 9 foot, that's good. That's an important marker. Sure. The 10-yard split's going to be more important than the 40 itself.
Yep.
Then the shuttles are important for like the change of direction stuff. And I PR'd in both of those too, so that was pretty exciting. So
go.
Yeah, what were you saying?
Why is Iowa so good at teaching the shuttle? I don't know why. No other school can figure it out, but I think Iowa is the best pro shuttle team in the country.
And it's weird, like, even like, so myself, Riley Moss, Jack Campbell, like these guys, like, we all changed our form from Iowa, but it's like once we went to another school, but doing the form allowed us to be able to open our hips in a way that most schools are like teaching you to stay square most of the time. It's like we're able to set our feet square, differently.
Crossover step. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so we're crossover stepping and jumping pretty much. And it's like, it's just crazy because it's like so consistent. Whether or not you teach somebody a new technique at a different facility, it's always seems to be the Iowa guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Casper still holds the all-time record.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it 3.7 something?
3.73.
Oof. That's just stupid, man. That's just stupid.
Kevin and I, in our day, both ran sub-4, so.
Yeah, I had the record for, I think, 2 years before Nick Neiman broke it.
Oh.
That's real good. That's impressive.
That's
fine. I never had a record. Darn shame.
Well, there's been some.
Close to any of them?
What do you say?
Were you close to any of them? I guess, man, some of those D-line records are pretty insane.
Yeah, it's like Mike Daniels had a 40-inch vertical. I'm like, not close, right?
Mike Daniels had a 40-inch vert?
He might have, I think it was 41, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God. We got to get Mike on the show.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Have you ever met him?
We have. He came and spoke at, I don't remember before which game, but he came back for a game once and spoke to our team. And he was hilarious. Just locked in. He said a joke at the beginning and everybody started laughing. He's like, why the F are you laughing? Like, and then he's like, locks in. I'm like, what is this guy? It was hilarious.
I don't think I appreciate enough during our time there is like the amount of guys that, you know, come back, whether formally or informally, just talk to the guys, you know. I don't think I appreciated it enough during my time there, but like having guys like Dallas Clark, like Bob Sanders, Mike Daniels, you know, Clue for you for his Baker. He's this having like this roster of guys who not only do come back and like share kind of a little bit of their experience, knowledge they've gained over the years, but want to. That's just something I don't think I ever took. I fully appreciated now, but now I do. Looking back, it's like there's a lot of highly successful people that went on to do great things in the NFL and into their personal lives as well that, you know, still wanted to come back to this place and kind of contribute further to what to the place that kind of made them who they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I love about Coach Ferentz so much is the fact that he's willing to, like, if there's a guy that played 20 years ago, I mean, he's been around for a while. So it's like, there's a guy from 2000. He's like, yeah, you want to say something? You want to say a word to the boys? And it's like he's always willing to have somebody else come in and say a word. Just if it's that, like I said earlier, if it's that little piece of advice that might stick with 1, 2, 10 of the players, that's worth it. And it's just really cool to see how Coach Ferentz has always been so willing to let people come in and give their point of view too. So,
yeah, I don't have to tell you, he's special in a lot of ways.
Absolutely,
He's good at when you talk about a people person. You know, when influence people.
Yeah. So it's like you said, man. He's been around for 25 years now, and so it's like he's got that deep roster of dudes, like
dudes,
like dudes.
Who have Kev, I came back like the second the year after we went, we graduated, or maybe 2 years after, and I was there for a day at camp, and it was like team meeting in the morning after the special teams meeting, and he made sure to like go over the list, like, oh, we got Kluver here, one of our great long snappers from a couple years ago. And dude, I've never felt better in my life.
Meanwhile, like you were teammates with like,
stand up, like, oh, thanks, coach.
I was teammates with, like, you know, there was probably only
three or five classes there.
Yeah. And they all know, and they're all sitting there like, oh, this Kluber guy's getting his ass kissed by KF now. All you have to do is graduate, you know, make it to senior day, and he'll just say you were some great player. It's like, dude, I was sitting in the back with the biggest head. I was like, yes, bro. Yeah. Is there anybody else that came in D-line-wise into the room, maybe a couple days at camp some year? I know there was who would always come back? I mean, I know Dallas would always come back.
Yeah. This
Pat,
year not
Pat
as
was
much.
Around a lot.
Right. This year, not as much, but like since I've been at Iowa, it's like Colin Cole has come back.
Yeah, he was there a lot. Involved,
yeah.
Oh, man. I would say that was the main one that I've actually developed. Aaron Campman. Those are the two that I've like actually developed relationships with, and they're you text them, they're always going to respond right away. It's amazing to see like how cool like just being a football alum is. Like brings everybody together, and like he's 45 years old, and it's like there's no reason that he needs to talk to me. It's like, yeah. Oh, what a good guy.
That's how we felt when Dallas agreed to come on our podcast or any of
Dallas,
those guys.
Dallas was around all the time. He's fiery. It's awesome,
dude. His energy is insane,
and he'll like actually talk crap to the D line. At practice. Like he'll step in and start chirping everybody. I'm like, this is awesome.
He still wants so we had him on the podcast, and he I think convinced Kevin and I to do an Ironman maybe at some point in the next several years. That's interesting. By the way, for those listening, if you want to run the Damn to DSM with me half marathon June 1st, use the code WASH WASHED. You get a custom Hawks by a Million bib for race day. And 10% off your order. Just, you know, shameless plug there.
Right.
You get into the media game and you'll learn that
Let's
too.
Go.
But yeah, Damn to DSM, great race in Des Moines, 13.1 miles, no big deal. Code wash. And he then I saw, so I went day trip to the championship game yesterday to watch the women.
Oh, yeah.
And he was there for that, plus I think the semifinal game and maybe the first game they played on Friday as well. And the entire game, he's just like his energy. I'm like looking at him across the way, and you can tell he wants someone to pass him the ball, man. He's like,
he's like that.
He's got electricity flowing through his veins. He can't like sit down. He can't sit still. We're hitting threes, and he's got like the number one up. He's like, if he could talk crap to the Nebraska team, he would have gone down there and gotten their face. It's amazing. It's incredible.
And he's darn consistent too. He does not change one bit. So,
no. And he's still more athletic than most of the guys.
Yeah. He could play right now. He could play.
That's what I said. That's what we told him. It is crazy to see, to have those guys come back and like, you know, you're cool to them now because you've got, you know, what all of us want is like at the time, at least now you're graduated, but you like, you know, guys come back and you hear the, you know, you can't buy this. Don't take it for granted. You can't buy what you've got here. You know, you get to be 29, like Kevin and I, you get to be 40, mid 40s, like Dallas. And the reason that we're still doing CrossFit and triathlons and stuff like this is because we're looking for something to give us the same sort of challenge.
Just try to fill that gap just a little bit, a little hole inside you.
And competitiveness that you got every day without asking when you stepped in the door of the facility. And you'll realize it soon, too. Hopefully not for a while, but you'll realize it soon, too.
Yeah.
Talk about that. You seem like the kind of guy who is maybe able to take a second here and there week to week during the season, or look up maybe once or twice in Kinnick while the magic is happening and take it all in and actually appreciate it while it's happening.
Yeah. And I grew into that a little bit because I, early on in my career, 2021, first half of 2022, I'm just like lock in. Like you're doing the Hawk walk. You're not looking at anybody. You'll just give a nod. I'm like, that's my wife. Like, what am I doing? I'm like, once we got married, I gave her a hug, but I didn't say a word. I said, love you. Bye. And then
That's my wife.
What am I doing? Like, this is unbelievable that I have this opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how many people would kill for this? And I'm just like doing it every day and taking it for granted sometimes. Yes, you need to lock in. Yes, you need to be intense. Yes, you need to be able to perform at a high level, but that does not mean that you cannot enjoy what's going on. It's like so many people get that stuck in their head that it's something you need to do. And I'm like, I was like that for a while. And then something just clicked. I'm like, you dummy, what are you thinking?
I'm
like,
just imagining your wife. I'm imagining your wife in the Hawk Walk line, just like, well, that guy's cool.
Well, I'd be like, I'd still approach her. I'd still give her a hug, but yeah. Like, I'm locked in. I'm not there to talk. And then I enjoyed it a little bit more this year too. I'd actually smile. It's like,
it's good to smile. It's good to, I feel you, man. I remember those walks and I always, yeah. I wanted to be, I don't know what I wanted to be. I don't know if I was trying to act and walk and keep a straight face because that's what I saw guys doing when I was a little kid. And it's I want to look like the cool tough guy. And I was never going to look like the cool tough guy because I was 5'10" and not good looking like an athlete is generally. So no one was going to think I was sweet anyway. And I think senior year, it takes time. You have to learn to. And obviously you felt
I think you have to learn to just do what you're feeling, man. Like if you want to go say hi to your family, go say hi to your family. Like don't force
that
shoulder, like meat mug and look versus if like, hey, you're like, I just want to go to business. I just want to go to work and just do whatever works for you. Right. I feel like that was probably something I could have done a little bit better of. But at the same time, like for me, game day was, I was going to work, man. And
yeah,
but like, I don't judge people that go and say hi to their families. No. Like my mom still complains that I never gave her a hug on game day, but whatever, I'll see you in 3 hours. You're all right.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Business trip. Where are you from, Logan?
Orion, Illinois, town of 1900 folks, just south of Moline, Illinois. So only
a lot of farmers. Cause you use the word folks. So I'm guessing there's some farmers in that town.
We were not farmers, but I lived in the middle of a cornfield, so yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Yep.
A lot of successful.
Which side of the river is better?
Iowa for sure. I'm not gonna get into it. Iowa.
a lot of successful Division I athletes coming out of Orion, Illinois.
No.
Are you like are you famous? Are you go back and they have a statue at your high school yet? Or
No statue yet, but
maybe someday.
I hope not. I don't like that kind of stuff. But
you don't like that recognition? What if you're like what if you go into the Hall of Fame of the NFL and they're like, Logan Lee Field, you know?
Yeah, that's different. I don't want a statue.
Oh, okay.
I don't want a shrine. You know?
Sure. Okay.
But. No, there's been several folks that I had a girl in my class. She did track at Illinois State. There was a wrestler a few years ahead of me that wrestled at NIU.
Okay.
My cousin played basketball at Loyola.
Hey.
Yeah.
There we go.
And then there's certainly folks that I'm forgetting about, but those are the three that I can pull off the top of my head.
You, if he's playing basketball, you must have a little height. You have height in the family?
Yeah, I might be third or fourth tallest. So two of my cousins are 6'7". My dad's 6'5". I think I passed him up. My uncle's 6'4". My aunt is 6'2". My sister's 6 foot. My grandma was 6'2". She's
they shrink
hunched over now. Yeah.
Were you guys Vikings back in the day?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you guys of warrior blood or what's going on?
We very well might be, but I think I'm just some sort of mutt. We have no idea what we were.
Oh, really?
Ancestry, never done any of that stuff. So I should probably check that out sometime.
Warrior is what you are.
Yeah.
Dude, you look like you could be a Viking.
I appreciate that. That means a lot.
You know what's going to be scary? Because I know you have all the like knowledge and tools and the discipline on how to do it. when you do stop playing football and you're absolutely shredded in a few years here, it's going to be
I'll be bulking for 18 years of my life and I just get a cut. Like the first, within a month, I swear I'm cutting 40 pounds.
Probably.
I made that mistake. You got to take it low and slow. You want a really effective cut, man.
That
went from 230 to 200.
You think about that? You think about that at all ever?
Yeah.
Like the day I retire, I'm going to go on a fast. Yeah. Like, I want to fast right now, but it's like I can't.
What are we cutting? Are we cutting dinner or are we cutting the 2,500 calorie shake?
No, like a 4 or 5 day fast, just like I just want to check it. And then I'd still probably do the shake and then just chill the rest of the day. Maybe have a
All function, huh?
That's my goal. Right now, there's a point where it's like it's late in the day and you're 2,500 calories short from what you're supposed to be because you weren't on it throughout the rest of the day. And you're like, I might have a cheat meal. I don't want to have those in my future.
If you do have to have one of those, what's the go-to? Yeah. Like, what if Logan needs calories and it don't matter what is going in? Like, what's the go-to?
It's always going to be a burger.
Yeah.
I'd say 80% of my cheat meals are burgers.
Love it.
Who's got the best burger in Iowa City?
Pullman.
Okay.
I would say Pullman.
I'm a big shorts guy myself.
Yeah, hey. So during COVID, Stella, like it was on our side of the river, so, and we had Black Card to it. So, like,
yes, sir.
I probably had Stella 100 times in a couple months.
And thank you. Same.
That burns out, you know, that it gets tough to eat.
Well, you can go back and forth. You can go chicken sandwich, burger, chicken sandwich.
So, Black Card started in 2016, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's been around for 8 years now. How much money do you think Stella's made off that thing? Because that's like
a lot. Smartest thing you could do if you're a restaurant in Iowa City.
Yeah. Yeah. Tens of thousands of dollars. It's tough because, like, I feel bad because, like, some folks don't tip, like, because you're paying on the app. You don't have cash with you. And I don't know if you can tip with the app. So it's like,
All right. Here. It's another hard question for you. What do you tip on takeout meals?
I do.
You do?
Okay. I do.
Do you still do 20% or what is it?
I won't do 20% unless like somebody's like really cool. If somebody looks like they enjoy what they're doing when I'm confident they might not be enjoying what they're doing. If they can show me the respect that I think people deserve, I'm more than willing to give them a 20% tip for putting it in a box.
Dude, Logan's so mature. Like I'm sitting here and you're going to be so successful in life, dude. I'm so jealous.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Even if it's somebody that doesn't do much, like I'll leave 10% if that's the case.
I think 10% on a pickup order is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be, I'm a bad tipper. I'm looking for reasons to not give you
money. Yeah. That's funny.
And that's probably a deeper character flaw of mine that stems from somewhere in my childhood. I don't know. Wow. Yeah, man. Are you ever a guy that's like, dude, I'm just getting Raising Cane's. I'm getting a Caniac combo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Culver's. You smash a Culver's butter burger every once in a while?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Especially, it's hard to not when your wife when your wife loves certain foods, it's like,
yep,
I'll tag along and get a smaller one. But
yeah, Kevin and I both understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So
believe it or not, my fiance does not want to eat chicken and rice 5 nights a week.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't either.
I do.
Yeah. That's why I blend it. It's so much easier.
There you go. Okay.
So you obviously you've alluded to it. You found a female that is going to spend the rest of your life with you. What does she think about the how you go? Like, what is her thoughts?
So we've been together since sophomore year of high school.
Love
She's
it.
an absolute saint, and she's been amazing. But she knows I go in kicks with certain stuff. The things that are always consistent, like the performance optimization stuff, middle school thing that's I've continued.
So but she knew what she was getting into there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's just something I'm into. And it's like that stuff is more like what early on is more training, and then I realized, oh, you actually have to recover too. So then I got into recovery, and I would hit all my healthy foods for the day, and then I would just eat calories, and like I didn't really care where it was early on. Now it's more like trying to get healthy calories, and that's a lot harder.
For sure, man. For sure. Was it because you guys got married before the season, right?
Yeah. So February 3rd, 2022, we got married. So we're coming up on 2 years here soon.
Is it weird being married in college?
Wait, did I say February 3rd? January 3rd. What did I say?
You're screwed. Shit.
Wait,
you're
done. Oh, July 3rd. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, shit.
You're dead.
You're done.
You're dead.
Yeah.
I'm sending this to your wife.
Sorry, I took the remote in with me. She's right there. She
walked in just for that moment where we forgot the anniversary.
Final answer, July 3rd, 2022.
All right.
Golly.
Well, I'll take your word for it. Built up enough credibility to do this. I can feel you feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. No, I know.
I think it's so interesting. Can you give me some, like, things that you even know are ridiculous about your optimization with your recovery that you do that you're like, I know that I'm weird for doing this, and I know that other people have to oblige my routine, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm so into it. What are some stuff that you do like that?
I love to help other people. If they complain about something, I generally try to help them find a rational solution that they oftentimes don't want to hear. It's like, you don't need medicine for that. It's like that kind of stuff. But I invest in a lot of recovery stuff that's people are like, what are you doing? It's like, my pastor actually, this is funny, but my pastor ended up just saying he wanted to sell his hyperbaric chamber. So
the fact that your pastor had a hyperbaric chamber is an interesting story in the first place.
Yeah. So he's a former wrestler at Iowa, absolute unit. He's amazing, but his wife had Lyme disease, and those are supposed to, there's been a lot of research that shows that that is a great one modality that you can use to help, Lyme disease. So
is it your pastor Brooks?
Yes, sir.
I love that guy.
He's awesome. He's amazing. Yeah. Go to Grace in North Liberty. That's my plug.
That's where he's at.
Yeah.
Hey. Here you go. Big God guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you always been a big God guy?
Yes, sir.
So this will be fun because people know on this podcast that I'm not really a guy. I'm not a religion guy.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not really sure what I am as far as like how we got here guy.
Yeah.
There's definitely something going on, but, I'd love to hear about that and how I mean, you got a cross on your chest there. And it's shining too. It looks good. How does faith play a role in your athletic career?
Oh, it's huge. It's just truly amazing to see the way that you pray for things. You pray for successes, you pray for stuff like that. And then it's like, it's never on the timing it's not always on the timing that you want, but like, 4 years, 3 years down the road, you find out that these prayers you've been praying for your whole life either came true or they did not come true. And you're like, what was I thinking when I asked for that? It's like, but it's like there's so many. I would, oh man, I just want to
get into it, brother. This too. Get into it.
Yeah. So I have been very involved. I was a leader in FCA, several years in high school, middle school. I went on a mission trip to Detroit, and then high school I went on one to, Houston, Texas.
Bro, by the way, you're the perfect college application, by the way. Like you were like, this guy does it all.
Yeah. Right. Right. Went on these mission trips, and that's where I was always interested in like the historical stuff of the Bible. And I was always a Christian. I always believed that Jesus died for us, right? And there's so much stuff that like I didn't know about. And then for the first time in middle school, we went to a youth conference. And like I said, that mission trip, there was a youth conference involved. And there was 44,000 youth members that went to Ford Field, and we had worship and stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty powerful. It's like, it's just like seeing how small you are in this world. It's pretty humbling. And that's really where it took off. So going through high school, very involved like with FCA. And then I got to college. I got very involved with Athletes in Action. I was a leader for that for 3 years here.
Jim Goodrich still leading that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's a man. He's been around forever. But yeah, he's still doing that. I've been very involved with that. I actually went on two mission trips to Ecuador. So first year, I think there was three or four football guys. And then last year we ended up getting 10 football guys. So
yeah, who are those?
Jeez.
Oh man. Several D linemen. DeJean went, Max White, Jeremiah Pittman, Aaron Graves, Caden Crawford, Caleb Crow. There's a ton. Steve Cilianos. Cool.
That was it.
It was amazing. But it above all the performance stuff, above football, above my books, above the relationship stuff, this is by far what I'm most passionate about. So, wow. It's like, I don't know. I would love to sit down and have a conversation. We can't cover everything, but I would love to share with you why I believe what I believe.
Yeah.
And just pick your brain on some stuff.
Oh, dude, I'd love to talk to you. I don't think the people want to hear it here, but I would love to do it. You have my number. We'll text.
Right. Absolutely.
It's interesting to me because I know obviously that it's so big in so many athletes' lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have plenty of athletes out there who are like, I mean, you don't think about it because it's absent. It's not something that you, but like, then other, you know, there's other people who are very successful who's like, they don't have it a part of their life. And I always find it intriguing on how certain people thrive off of that and how other people don't need it. I love that you're passionate about it. If I'm passionate about one thing, it's other people's passions. I just like seeing people passionate about something. How did you guys manage a trip to Ecuador was that in the summer? Over summer break?
Spring break. So
wow.
They would be gone right now. They weren't able to get enough folks this year to go and sign up. So kind of a bummer, but yeah, I wish I would have recruited for that one too. So,
how do you manage all these passions, all your optimization, your faith, your? I mean, I guess there's just those are the two big ones. But like, do you ever feel like you're like wanting to give more energy? Are you a guy that has a ton of energy like Dallas? Are you feel you lay down on the pillow at night and you're like, God, I'm exhausted from just being so awesome.
It depends on the day. I would say. I'm an ambivert. So like these relationships, I love building relationships. I'm very passionate about the stuff. I'm very intense about the stuff I'm passionate about. Yes, I could go all day talking about stuff like this, but it wears me out. Absolutely. There's certain things I have way more energy for than others. And like you said, seeing people passionate about stuff is amazing. And it's like, cause you understand what it's like to be in that field to where it's like, it could be the most irrelevant thing in the world. What I'm talking about could be irrelevant to you, but it's like, it's interesting because of how excited somebody is to talk about that stuff.
You know? Absolutely. Okay. I don't want to take your time forever. And I know we started this thing with the books. I know Kevin maybe had some more, there's some conversation left to be had here about your reading. Always a reader from middle school. Like, were you like, I read Harry Potter in a month in middle school and then Kevin? No,
the I read a lot of books. The only real series I read was, the Lorien Legacies. It's a weird one.
So you haven't read Harry Potter?
No, none of them. None of the Lord of the Rings. I'm going to get those. I'd like to read those.
Have you seen the movies?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been a big movie guy too.
What year were you born, man? He might be too young to like when right. The books were like, you know.
You're right.
So I was a 2000 guy.
Ah.
I was 2000. Man. So it's like before I got into books, I was very into movies. That was kind of just transition. I'm like,
okay,
I could be using my time a little bit more productively.
Okay.
So I started listening to a lot of books first. And then even this past year, I started trying to read more. So,
yeah. But I mean, like the last Harry Potter book probably would have came out when you were like 7 or 8. So,
yeah. Right.
So he probably watched the movies already and, you know, the big reveals.
I know.
Exactly.
I know. We're just getting old. Do you have a sense of where the desire for optimization, not just through the performance and the health, fitness, nutrition stuff, but mm-hmm. in a way, this reading, and I'm a massive podcast guy. I am like listening to podcasts just like 24. I probably listen to 20 or 30 podcasts a week. Yeah. 2x speed, fitness, right. Nutrition. You know,
that was my entry point. That was my gateway into the audiobooks.
Yep.
I'm like, I like learn. I like. I'm a huge Huberman guy.
Yeah.
That was.
Did you wake up and just stare at the sun, bro?
Yes, I do.
that guy.
There's like so many like physiological things that you can put into practice. It's tough to keep track of everything.
There is a lot.
Like I'm doing everything every day. It's like, hey, if I think of this, I'm going to do that. You know?
Yeah. So do you have any idea on where this this drive comes from to like learn more and optimize everything? Like, do you have a sense of that, or is it just who you are?
I don't know. All I know is I get obsessed about random stuff. Doesn't matter. Like I went through yo-yo phase when I was younger. I went through magic trick phase. I went through Rubik's Cube phase. I went through audiobooks. I went through podcasts. Dude, we're the same person.
We're not. You're bigger, more athletic, faster, stronger, going to have a shot at the NFL. And when you are done with the NFL opportunity, you'll have you'll have a business that makes more than me. But yeah. Yeah, we're pretty close.
That's hilarious. I've only stuck with the 3x3s.
Weak.
Yeah, no, soft.
Soft and mentally weak. I tell you what, just not what they teach at Iowa football. Are your parents super motivated, like optimized people? Your siblings?
No, they're all great. Love my family to death.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're not great if they are.
No, I know. I'm saying like. The intricacies of nutrition and training and all this stuff is never something like,
yeah, same.
I mean, they would listen to me talk and that was about it. It's like, oh, nice. It's like,
do you ever think
get worn out after a while of hearing new stuff that it's like, okay, that can't be real.
With like, all your nutrition, you know, interest now, do you ever think back to like your childhood and some of the stuff that you just were crushing as a child and you're just like, oh my God, I grew up on this.
Kraft Campbell. Oh my gosh. I would eat boxes of macaroni. I would still do that. Like throughout high school.
If I was doing it in college, bro.
Yeah. Because I was still like living in the country. So I'm like, what do we have? It's like you can do pizza rolls or macaroni.
Yes.
Okay.
Host, dude, the little bags of Hostess donuts.
Yeah.
Used to have them for breakfast, baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Used to drink three cans of Mountain Dew or root beer.
It was actually insane, like how much like pop that we just had lying around at all times. Like you just have pop with lunch. And
I've not had any pop since February 3rd of 2012.
And he knows the date.
Yeah, that's why. So I said
February 3rd. He's earlier, like the stepdaughter's guy. I haven't had a carb since 08.
It was good for
you see these? Man. You want to touch this shit? I haven't had a carb since 2004.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's actually around the time that I stopped drinking pop. That was my senior year. And after basketball or after football, my senior year, I was 227.
Okay.
I'm only 5'10", by the way.
Yeah.
And it was a sloppy 227. And I was like 3-4 Cokes a day, Mountain Dew, root beer, whatever you got. And I played basketball, so I decided after football season to stop drinking pop, and then went into basketball season and lost weight and kept it off. and I went into Iowa the following year at like 205. So
that's awesome.
Anybody out there drinking regular pop, you want to lose some weight, just cut that
Stop.
Out.
Yeah, I think I should just about buy a cigarette for you.
I had one sip once. It was unintentional.
How is it unintentional?
Someone I just had a drink of somebody else's drink.
Coke in your Jack Daniels or what?
No. Something along those lines. Somebody gave me a drink and turns out there is soda in it. So I tried to gag myself. I was unsuccessful.
Those slimy people. Sure. This is funny. Kev, any book questions back to the book conversation?
Yeah. I mean, you got any other favorite authors out there?
I'm not much of an author guy. I'm just like an individual book guy. There's a lot so for fictional stuff, my favorite stuff is, The Terminalist.
Great.
It's good stuff. But the stuff I'm most passionate about is all the nonfiction stuff. So it's like the Bible is always number one. Recommend everybody to read that. Good stuff in there. Number two, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Then we got Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. We got
That's on my list. That was, I know Coach Joy was big on that.
Yeah, just read that. Hey, that one gets deep, brother.
It's pretty heady at points, but
It's a lot.
It's good stuff.
Have you Have you put, if you haven't, I don't know if you know Peter Attia.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Outlive.
I listened to that one. Yeah.
Listening to it for a second time right now.
I know. That's good stuff. It gets you thinking about a lot of different stuff.
Oh yeah.
That's good. Big into Breath by James Nestor. The Warrior Poet Way is one I just got into. It's by John Lovell. Just kind of talks about how it is okay for men. It should be that men are able to embrace both, masculinity and be able to love their family well. Like, you don't have to choose between
just being a hunter,
right? Being a absolute alpha male in every area of your life.
I read one January that was just like that. I think it's called The Mask of Masculinity by Lewis Howes, who runs the what's his podcast called? School of Greatness. Yep. Same sort of thing. Good book. Have you read Comfort Crisis?
No, that's on my list. I don't know if I have that one yet.
It's a good one. Really good.
Oh, I listened to Earthing. Oh man,
Earthing. Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, you're so deep into like literally everything that I've gotten into the last 5 years of my life. Yeah. I'm so excited.
I'll send you my Google Doc later.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
This is like the Black
Book Club.
I've got the Logan Lee Google Doc, man. I'm going to start living like you. Dude, this is sick. We're going to have you back on and have a lot more conversation.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is so sick. Let's do it after the draft, once you figure out wherever you're going. And we'd love to hear about, obviously, like the opportunity that you'll get, because you will get an opportunity. We hardly talked about you on the field, which is good. This is part of the reason we started this podcast is for people to know the person behind the helmet. And I hope we did that today. This is pretty cool. You are a fantastic football player. Dominated people. With those bear paws, will definitely have a shot. How do you feel about your chances here as we near the pro day, the draft, all that? Is it exciting time, obviously?
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy not having any idea where you're going to end up, but it's amazing being able to, I went to the Shrine Bowl, in Dallas, end of January. And that certainly helped my stock. And then both that and the combine helped my stock quite a bit. So, ultimately it's like, I'm always willing to bet on myself. If things are meant to be, I just want to be able to trust the plan the Lord has for me. So I'm very confident, really looking forward to the opportunities that he provides.
Awesome, man. I got to ask one more question before we wrap it up. And hopefully we'll have you back on after the draft as well. But, you had a COVID year that on the table, right?
I did. Yes. So I could have came back.
What was the decision there?
Yeah, I just ready, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm married. It's just it's like, I know how like longevity works. I'm like, there's only so much tread on the tire. I'm like, it'd be silly for me to continue playing here if I could potentially establish a future a year earlier. Mm-hmm. And a year earlier now is like on the back end of an NFL career could make a heck of a difference. So
no doubt. No doubt.
And yeah, it was just my time. There's plenty of other young guys. I'm like,
there's something beautiful about the fact that like you know when it's time to go.
Yeah, and it's tough because like there's so many young guys waiting for their opportunity because mm-hmm. of a guy that has been around that has established themselves.
Sure, it's quite the backlog, you could say.
And I'm like, these guys deserve an opportunity. And I'm like, we have so many great younger players. I'm like, I want them to be able to optimize their future as well. So it's like, there's no, if I did not see myself playing another, like in the NFL, sure, I might've came back. Mm-hmm. But with the circumstances that were provided, I was confident in my ability to pursue a future in it.
You're so much.
We're gonna have to put him on the governor ticket with.
Him and Jack Campbell, dude. Jack Campbell and this guy, they'd run away with the election.
He's the best man at my wedding.
Is he?
Was he really?
He was. Yeah.
One thing that people don't know about Jack.
This shit writes itself, man.
Yeah.
Well, give me something people don't know about Jack.
Oh man, he's.
What's his best quality as a friend?
Best quality as a friend is his consistency. He's the same person. Obviously, he opens up to the people he's closer with, but he's just like – he's always gritty. He's always like – and we share so many interests, which is a ton of fun.
Is he into fitness too? Fishing.
He's one of the people that's like, dude – I don't want to hear it anymore.
Weak. But, yeah. Jack Campbell, soft.
Yeah,
really weak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jack Far Campbell doesn't want to optimize.
Farthest thing from it. But, him and then Laporta was at my wedding.
Wow. A couple decent guys to have at your wedding, huh?
Solid. So,
you know, Lions, you would say. Lions of men.
Until I get drafted. Yeah.
Did you have an interview with the Lions at the Combine?
Yep, I've had two interviews and then should have another one up here.
You think
soon,
they're up there? You think they're up there bargaining for you?
I certainly wouldn't mind that.
You're like, hey, we gotta get this Logan Lee guy.
I mean, if we get any more Hawkeyes there, we're gonna have to just the entire Iowa fan base is gonna become Lions fans.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
Yeah,
I'm already a Lions fan until I figure out at the end of April
where you're going. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Wow, dude. What is this? Almost 80 minutes is more than I could have ever expected. This was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, man.
I appreciate you coming on so much. The fans will love this episode. They're going to tell me that I talk too much, which is cool. It always happens. I got real excited because of your interest. Sorry, everybody.
Right.
We will have Logan back on. I've got his number. Don't worry. It's funny because I actually hit you up through Instagram because that's the only way you can do it these days without, I mean, I could have gotten your number in other ways, but, and Logan responded like, I don't know, 6 weeks later or a month later, he's like, hey man, I don't check my messages on here. And that's how we know that you're built different because you're not one of these Instagram TikTok kids. All right.
My wife has the password for my 12-minute screen time allowance on Instagram for the day. So yeah.
Dude. Good for you, man. Honestly, good for you.
Unreal.
But
Logan Lee, everybody. Logan Lee.
All right, gentlemen.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back again next time. Until then. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.